Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show each and every week. Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton, is now available on demand, on the air, anytime you need to find the latest mortgage information, which right now is now. There's a lot of volatility and changes happening. You need to be up to speed. You can find us immediately on YouTube. We upload versions of the show every week. Search for Jeff Barton, the Mortgage Voice. Hundreds of shows, and certainly the latest show. And you can see that and hear and listen to it on your mobile device as well via any of our podcast partners, Apple, Google, Spreaker, Podclips.io, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Plus, we're still available on traditional radio in any number of markets, including the Inland Empire, Southern California, two great stations there, up in Las Vegas, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and up in Lake Tahoe. Again, this is Jeff Barton, and welcome to The Mortgage Voice, talking about mortgages and the volatility of what's happening today in the news about, both the economy as well as what's happening at the stock market has really taken away some of the focus as to the rising rates. And when I say that, I mean rising rates really has made many people not being able to afford a mortgage, searching for some way to get it done. If we raise, and we did raise during the first quarter and a half of this year in 2022, the rates from 3.5% all the way up to almost 5.5%. Now, I think, it's almost 5.5% on the 30-year fixed rate mortgage today. Pricing people out of the market. One of the reasons that we price them out of the market, not only mortgage interest rates, and every interest rate, million people less can buy a house, and that's just the way it is. So if we're raising the rates from, 3% to 4%, million people can't afford a house anymore. 3% to 5%, well, the math is too, and we're at about 2.5 million people. We were already in a downside of the refinance market because, at 2.5 to 2.75% and 30-year fixed on a refi market 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, even 6-7 months ago, well, obviously those people cannot refi now because the rates are so much higher at 5.5%, and that's prohibitive. One of the things to talk about today, and one of the things I want to get into right now, is the housing market and the affordability index and what people can and can't afford. From the mortgage side, we know millions of more people cannot afford just based on the mortgage rate. But house prices have a lot to do with that as well. If we see a cooling in the house price increase, well, it still doesn't allow more people affordable more people to afford that housing. It just makes those people who can't afford it, that giant number, not shrink as much. And I'll tell you what I mean. In the housing market, and what we've got right now and what we've seen in over the last 2 months, last 3 months, March, April, and May, what we've seen is the price, the acceleration in the price increase has diminished. We've even seen in some markets the price fall below what it has been, i.e. the price of the house that you're going to buy is less this month than last month. Now, that's a good thing because everybody knows, and we've said it on this show 100 times, prices over the last year have increased over 20% in most major cities around the country. Since most people live in major cities, most people are affected by this price increase. Now, it was offset for, like I say, a couple of years by the fact that the mortgage interest rate was so low. But now that the mortgage interest rate is not so low at 5.5% for a 30-year fixed, fewer people can afford that house. So what we look to then is what the Fed is doing to fight and combat inflation, i.e. raising the interest rates, which incidentally affect mortgage interest rates tangentially. They're not a direct correlation, but they do affect. With the Fed rate the attack on inflation, the raising of the interest rates on your mortgage loan, price increases on a year-to-year basis have decreased. And therefore, what happens when that happens is that we will see more people be able to afford those houses. We need to see, and this is terrible to say because many people have all their wealth wrapped up in their house. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. What I'm saying is 20% growth year over year is not a good thing. We need more housing, not more people to afford more expensive housing. So in order to cool the market, the inflation-fighting Fed, I can't even say that, inflation-fighting Fed has raised short-term borrowing and as a result also had an impact raising mortgage interest rates, cooling the market. So what have we got? All right, let's jump into some numbers here because I think at that point you will see increased in the number of houses on the market is the most important thing, right? Because when we see cooling in the housing market, i.e. fewer people want to buy because it's too expensive and there's fewer houses, we actually get more people selling their house who can't sell it, so therefore the numbers of houses on the market increase. What is that? I'm going to name a few cities, especially those few who are listening out west, which is most of our affiliates. Okay, in Denver, in May of 2021, there were 2,000 houses available for sale. In May of this year, 3,600. That's a 76% year-over-year increase, 14% month-over-month. That's a big jump. Those are good things. Now, does it mean that we're in a recession? It's another topic for another segment in the show, and it's something we have to continually gauge and look at. However, with 360,000 people added to the payrolls, I would say no. Employers are still hiring. Feel good about the economy until and unless that particular thing happens, i.e. the R word, recession. I don't think so. Las Vegas, Nevada, last year at this time, or in May, 2,500 houses on the market. 25 in the whole city? That's 2.5 million people out there. So a year ago, that was the deal in Las Vegas. Now, 4,300. Now, it doesn't sound like a huge jump, but it is a huge jump. Almost 2,000 more houses available this year than last year. Again, having to do with the raising of the interest rates and the raising of the short-term Fed funds rate. All taking money out of the market. People get scared. They stop wanting to buy. Increase in the number of houses and also, conversely, increase in the affordability. In the Northwest, Seattle, Portland, May 2021, 5,500. Today, 8,700, almost 8,800. That's a big jump. San Diego, same thing. May of 21, although this is a negative number, 3,600. In San Diego, price went down. Number of houses on the market went down, 3,200. That's a negative. So the difference between Denver, Las Vegas, and Northwest U.S. and California in general is that in California, Southern California specifically, the housing itself, the number of houses on market went down while they're going up everywhere else. And we've also seen some price reductions, which is also kind of important when we're looking at the affordability. And affordability for you, if you're out there and you're looking in those particular markets that we see an increase in housing, if you can hang on another couple, 3 months, you get into September when the housing season is really kind of over. Kids are back in school. People have moved if they needed to move for work. People are settling in for both the end of the year as well as the winter time with the holidays and everything else. That's when you're going to see a major increase in housing, and you're also going to see some inflation numbers which go down. We're going to see housing prices dip a little bit. These are my opinions, of course, and I think that's a great time to look for a house if you can hold on. If you can't, I get it. But that's when affordability will be better, and that's also when the number of houses on the market will be better. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Appreciate you listening to the show. We'll get to our guest ASAP, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show and listening each and every week. Again, I'm Jeff Barton. If you want to see the show, go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. Not only this week's show, but I also have my LinkedIn and my Facebook and my Instagram show, which we do about, you know, once every couple of weeks. I've been getting on lately. Been very busy at home. Been very busy at work. There's a big transition going on in the world of mortgages. So if you don't see me on those particular YouTube, LinkedIn and all these other social media sites, that's why. But we are on YouTube. We are on podcasting, and we have many, many podcasts that we're on. Let me give you a few of them. We're on Apple and Google and Stitcher and Spreaker and Podclips.io, Spotify, and more. Check us out at themortgagevoice.com as well. That's our mortgagevoice.com website where we have this show as well as many of our guests on there. So if you see and hear a guest that you like, go there. You can find them and contact them directly. Again, I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Thanks for tuning in. Okay, so based on all of that, I have to tell you right now as our audience, I have great guests that come on this show. Not good guests, great guests. People that have been in the business a long, long time. So listening to me, yeah, you may get sick of what I'm saying because it sounds like I'm just lecturing you, but the reality is that the people who do the hard work to get you a loan, those are the people we bring on the show, the experts. Kim Soash from Homebridge is no exception. I bring her on now. Kim, thank you very much for coming on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's talk about the business, what's happening at Homebridge. You know, we've had this huge transition to a higher rate interest rate mortgage market. What is happening in terms of both product and, you know, the type of borrowers that we're getting now?
Well, I think that, you know, it's not going to be a surprise to anyone to hear that the refi market is, you know, it's never always gone because people want to refi for one reason or another. But the flurry of refi is pretty much gone away, and we're dealing mainly in the purchase market.
Right.
And then Fannie has really lost their, Fannie and Freddie both, have kind of lost their interest in or their appetite, I should say, for the second home non-owner occupied market. And so the pricing hits that they have added to those types of occupancies have caused rates that are already high for owner occupied homes to be even higher for these homes that are second home or non-owner occupied home. And anyone who's maybe wondering why that would be,
right.
I think that, you know, they look at it that if money got tight and you could only make one house payment, you're going to make the house payment for the one that you live in, not your second home, non-owner. That'd be the first one you'd let go. So because of that, it's a higher layer of risk. And so that's why the rates are higher. So the rates have actually gotten so much higher that they are almost in line with where the non-QM rates are, which, were higher in the first place. Now they're almost equal.
Right.
So it's really caused to have, it's caused people to have more of an interest in these non-qualified mortgages, the non-traditional, not Fannie and Freddie, but the investor types of loans.
You know, there's that you say that, it's very interesting because the market not only is changing, but so is the way that people are looking at this non-QM market. Tell us a little bit about what Homebridge is doing in the non-QM space.
Well, the non-QM space is, it's been a great space for us all this, you know, since we launched it. So for the past few years, it's been great. It's been always, it's a good loan for borrowers who are self-employed, and can't qualify on their tax returns. And so, often if you're self-employed, you're writing off too much for, your tax return income is just not going to be enough to qualify. So, or maybe usually Fannie's going to average your income over the last 2 years on the non-QM. If 2021 was a great year, but 2020 not so much, you can qualify with just that 1 year, no matter what your automated underwriting finding is. You can just decide to have a 1 year tax return. So it allows borrowers to just use 1 year tax returns or qualify on 12 or 24 months bank statements. They can do something that's called DSCR. It's a debt service coverage ratio, and it means that the borrowers on a non-owner occupied property is going to qualify only on the rental income, so not on anything else. We don't want to know where they work or what their income is. We really are just qualifying the property and its rental income. So we call that investor cash flow, but it's more commonly probably known as DSCR, debt service coverage ratio. We can do foreign nationals. A foreign national needs to be a borrower who does not work or live in the United States.
I see.
So that's a borrower we couldn't do before. That's kind of new to this product offering. And then investor or asset qualifying. We can qualify borrowers. Maybe they have a trust fund, or they have a huge retirement fund, and so we can qualify on that and not, again, avoid tax returns in the traditional ways that people usually qualify. So some of the interesting things that we're doing.
When you see the product,
to give borrowers choices.
Yeah, when you see the product mix, either purchase or refinance change, and then whether it's a conventional or whether it's a non-QM, obviously opening markets up that didn't exist before in order to get loans in the door, what do we do with those loans since the GSEs aren't buying them? What happens to them? Because there's so much about replenishing of the money to be able to borrow. I know some companies are hedge fund driven. Some are, Wall Street. Some are, insurance companies. Some are sovereign funds. What does Homebridge do with those types of loans? And what is the product mix from conventional to non-QM?
Well, I think that we're doing, I would have said 6 months ago that it was mainly hedge fund, but because we were primarily working with just one investor, but now we're working with about six investors in this channel. So it's probably a combination of all of what you mentioned. So I think that I can't say that it's coming from just one area. We are 70% of the business that I've been doing lately, and I would say, probably in the 50 to 60% range for a lot of the account executives. For me, it's been this non-QM area. It's just really wildly popular. Pricing had gotten really high on it about a month ago, but it's kind of come down a little bit.
Right.
And it's not that it came down as much as the Fannie and conventional
came up,
non-owner
right.
has gotten up
yeah.
so high
right.
that now it's not such a bad rate. So,
right. Now you're looking at these rates like, oh, okay, it's less paperwork. There's more product available for me. And so even if the price is 7%, which they're going from 6 to 7%, I believe, it's still, you're at 5.5% with a 30-year fixed if you've got perfect credit, if you've got 20% down, so, yeah, it's not that bad off. It's not that far off.
No, and they have options that that Fannie and Freddie still don't offer. So they have interest-only, so maybe if you're doing a non-owner property and it's all about cash flow, interest-only is an option that Fannie and Freddie just don't provide. So it gives them another avenue. And it's got, 40-year interest-only. So you can do the 40-year term.
Yeah, I like the 40. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it just gives the borrowers some flexibility in their purchasing options or their refi options.
I got a quick question for you. We have been wanting the private sector to really get back involved in lending. Now, I know that based on what you're telling me, you're not the only company that's going 40, 50, 60%, maybe even more non-QM, which means that the GSEs are going to be buying 40, 50, 60% less. It's going to be more of a 50-50 mix between the investors for non-QM and the GSEs. Isn't that really bringing the private sector back into lending? And isn't that what we've been wanting all along?
Well, I think so. I think it's always good when there's not a monopoly of anything, right?
I agree.
If there's not one person getting the lion's share of everything that's going on. So, I think that the non-QM for me is still, the rate is still better than, private money loans.
Right.
So, and there's still an opportunity for people that get into private money loans because it's kind of fast and, you know, quick cash to, you know, make a purchase, whatever they're doing. And then, you know, we can refi them out of it into, you know, a rate that's, you know, not as low as it was a year ago, but a much lower rate than what the private money is.
Right. No, but, I agree. Hey, listen, Kim, we're up against it. You want to shout out a phone number for people who want to talk to some great source of information over at Homebridge?
Yeah, that would be good. My name is Kim Soash, and it, my number is 818-970-4016.
Kim,
and I'd be happy to discuss anything with anybody.
Kim, thanks very much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Looks like we've almost got our Stanley Cup set. One more team needs to get in, but, you know, go Avs.
They're looking strong, aren't they, Jeff?
They're looking strong. They're looking strong. Kim, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
All right, you're welcome.
All right, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Check out our website at themortgagevoice.com. There you can find our latest on-demand episodes of The Mortgage Voice, information about our guests, as well as their contact information. You can also read my blog, which keeps you updated with the very latest mortgage news. Check it out. Bookmark us. That's themortgagevoice.com. Okay, I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate it. You know, a lot of times you just want to hear a few things about what's going on in the mortgage market. You want to get right to the point. Okay, the next guy is the guy that you're going to want to talk to. His name is Charles Giscombe. He's a loan officer and the qualified employee out in Las Vegas, Nevada, as well as doing loans in a lot of different places. Charles, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Jeff, I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me again, as always.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we've seen great transition in the market. We've gone from really low rate to a medium rate environment, but a lot of people get freaked out. We've seen housing prices actually come down a little bit, and we've seen some inventory rise. Give us your assessment of what's happening out in the Vegas market as well as some of the other places where you're doing business.
Well, Jeff, you said it exactly right. We're seeing some a tidbit of stabilizing for the market. Prices are coming down. Obviously, with the interest rates going up and the cost of money being higher, we need people there. You know, we're trying to entice people to stay into this market. Even though the market has still been hot and people have still been transacting, you see that is happening. The market is stabilizing, and it'll continue to have people trying to transact because you're getting, you know, get a better home prices. For a while there, even in the Charlotte area, it was getting difficult to find a house. There was no inventory, but more and more now, we're getting more accepted offers now than we were before, Jeff.
Okay, now that's interesting. We're not going to see the 20% rise in real estate prices this year, but we also see some rise and buyers coming into the market, coming back to the market, or sticking with the market. You know, the housing sentiment survey is really not great numbered. It's 68.3, and the lowest recorded recently is 6.3. So we're edging downward. But is this a reflection of what's happening with mortgage rates, or is this just an overblown real estate market that's finally coming back down to earth?
You know what, Jeff? People look at both ways. It depends on what side of the fence on you are. I believe that it's a cycle, and it's coming back down. And, it happened before, Jeff, and it's happening again. And then you have to throw the coronavirus into the mix. You have to throw COVID into the mix.
Of course.
Absolutely. That has caused a different little vibration that we haven't been used to. I just feel like this is a cycle, and you couple that with something, like the COVID, disastrous like the COVID, and you're always going to get the situation. I do believe that we will cycle around again, and this is just things correcting themselves. Yes, I tell people all the time, in order for us to get these great markets, you're going to have these things happening, and you're going to have the correction to happen in order for this cycle to continue. We will see this again. We will see low interest rates again. But we're in a cycle mode right now, so people, just buckle up. But what you can do is you can get involved with different programs or start looking at different programs that can allow you to still transact. What I mean by that is get into programs that are non-QM-based, non-qualified mortgages. If you're going to get a higher interest rate, it's better to get a non-qualified mortgage that can possibly do different interesting things, like give you a 40-year amortization with the interest-only payment, where you can pay principal whenever you want to. That will counteract a higher interest rate market and allow you to still stroke a check that's a lot lower than what you normally would in that particular market. When those interest rates go up, you need to do things that can still keep your check stroking options down so that you can keep your payments down. I believe that those kind of loans help in this kind of market and give people still some comfort and options to go forward in order to transact.
Now, if you in a non-QM market, the rates are a little bit higher, right? Let's say a point higher, point and a half higher, something like that. And these people want to get into the market, get into something, and then, you know, as all loan officers would say, then you later on down the line can refinance and get a lower rate at a conventional mortgage. Is that necessarily true? And how would that become true if someone wanted to do that?
Well, I'll tell you. So there's a lot of different programs that you can get into. You can get in some programs that have prepayment penalties, and they offer you different terms because they're offering a prepayment penalty. That's because the lender only makes their money off of interest payments. So they want you to stay in the deal for a certain period of time.
Okay.
What we like to do over here, we have other options at Malibu Funding. What we like to do is utilize programs that don't have any mortgage insurance and also offer no prepayment penalty. So if the interest rate is going to be a little higher, you're looking for another or a different perk or more perks on the other side to kind of help you get a good warm and fuzzy feeling about doing a transaction. That's why I always tell our clients, if I can get you into an interest rate that's not hard money, it's hybrid money or a little bit lower, it might be a point and a half higher, but give you no mortgage insurance and give you no prepayment penalty so that you can refinance into a conventional loan when the market corrects itself and the rates adjust themselves, would that be something you're interested in? Most times than not, Jeff, that's what that person says. As long as I can go back in, Charles, and I'm not locked in and committed for a period of time, and I can go back in whenever I want to when the market corrects itself, that's a loan I like because it does offer me some other things I can do to keep my payment down. I always advise or suggest that to our clients. That's another option for you.
Now, I've looked at the Las Vegas market, seeing that houses actually on the market have increased this year over last year by about 2,000. So you have 5,000 plus versus 3,000 plus a year ago. Right. This kind of trend is really based on either sellers coming to the market wanting to sell because it's the highest price they're going to get, and they realize, obviously, that the market's going to change, or it's because a lot of people have just gotten worn out in this market. Where do you see opportunities in any major city, in any area, for buyers, and then, obviously, what do they do about the financing element for that?
I mean, listen, we do loans all over the country. Obviously, if you want to do a traditional loan or you want to do a non-QM loan or a commercial loan, we do them all. There's a lot of opportunity. As the houses begin to correct themselves, individuals still should be looking as far as the values are concerned. Looking, there's some really great deals out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really great deals, and they won't be as competitive because the market's correcting itself. You always can expect a hot market and no properties to be on when the sellers have their pick of buyers that are coming in cash and overbidding and bidding. But I can tell you, there are properties out there. We can provide financing for any of those situations, whatever your structure might be, no matter where it's at. And I will tell people, continue to transact, because although the values are coming down, they're still making you money.
What happened to that shadow inventory of all those properties that were in? Yeah, thank you. I mean, we were expecting this flood, and all of a sudden, everybody got distracted. But all these people that were in this forbearance program, what happened to them? They didn't all come out. What happened to the million houses that were in foreclosure?
Yes, that's one of the magical unicorn situations that we hear in the industry all the time. Jeff, you and I talked about this the last boom. Last drop. We talked about the properties being available. And guess what? There were not that much more, Jeff, available.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
When the market started correcting itself, that's when the deals started happening again. And people started moving again. So it looks like there's properties on there. But, Jeff, you and I both know. That unicorn just didn't just didn't show up in our backyard, buddy.
Who's got? That's what I mean. So corporations are the big buyers. They step in, they take over, they buy them as corporate properties and rent them out, and they just become properties taken off the market artificially because the general public has not been allowed to get in on the deal. It's just one of those things where you're like, well, one of the things we have is a housing problem here. How is it being solved when you convert these to corporate housing rentals? I don't see it.
Hey, listen, if there's a magical REO department, they're not letting too many people
right
in, Jeff, so we're not being privy.
Right. So, and the reason I'm asking the question is just because there's many people who are listening to the show going, yeah, whatever happened to those? I was waiting around. I'm looking
for,
right, looking for the good deal. And I don't know. I get calls or emails at least once, twice a week. Hey, I'm a buyer and I'm looking. And if you've got any properties, and I'm thinking, if I had any properties, what are you kidding? Nobody's got properties. Jeez, I wish I did have properties. Okay,
there's no properties available.
We had about 30 seconds left. You want to tell people how they can get in touch with somebody who's not only got their hand or their finger on the pulse of what's going on in the housing and mortgage markets, but also a terrific loan officer that really knows how to get you a loan.
Hey, Jeff, I appreciate that so
sure
much. If you want to reach out to us, please reach me at charles@malibufunding.biz. That's charles@malibufunding.boyisaaczenith. Or you can reach out to me at 702-328-5191. We are always available and looking to help individuals earn while we learn. We want to teach you the mortgage industry while we're helping you get transactions done. That's it. I'm here.
Thanks very much, Charles. I really appreciate it. Malibu Funding, NMLS number is 79620 for those. Charles works for Malibu Funding. Chuck, thanks very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Jeff, I appreciate you having me again,
Matt. Great. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. The Mortgage Voice with me, Jeff Barton, is available on demand and on air anytime you need the latest mortgage information, which is right now, volatile market, changing all the time. Okay, you can find us immediately on YouTube. We upload the version of this show every week. You can see this show, hundreds of shows. We've been doing it 8 years, so yeah, we have a lot of shows there. Just search for The Mortgage Voice. You can also listen to the show on demand with your mobile device via any of our podcast partners, Apple, Google, Spreaker, IO, Clips, that really podclips.io, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Plus, we're available on traditional radio. Da-da! Yes, here are the markets. Inland Empire, Southern California, Las Vegas, Nevada, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Lake Tahoe. This is Jeff Barton, and thanks very much for tuning in. Okay, so we bring to the show, as I've talked to about many, many times, people that know way more about their local areas than I do. We give a macro, we talk about economy, and we talk about Fannie and Freddie. But to get to kind of the nitty-gritty of the markets that we're in, we bring local experts onto the show. Now, this person is terrific both not only as a local expert and in property management in the Las Vegas market, but also in social media and how she communicates with people out there in the marketplace. It's kind of a hybrid person who really does a great job, and we're really privileged to have her back again, Joanne Munns. Joanne, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm going to have to slip you an extra $20 for that intro. My goodness.
You got the $30 one. No, I'm just kidding. No, I really appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. Okay, so the market and what's happening. You know, we talk about rentals all the time on the show and how, and I just got off the phone with another guest who was talking about the shadow inventory that never showed up. And I say, yeah, because big corporations buy it, hold on to it, and then rent it out. So we never really get, you know, the full inventory of properties on the market ever back on the market. What is happening in the rental market there? And how do you handle, not only showing, but price increases and the lack of availability in the marketplace?
You know what? It's a very challenging market at this time. Properties, but I've noticed, like, in the last 2 weeks, has been just a little dip. You used to be able to throw a property out there for whatever an excessive price.
Right.
And people, you'd have 10 applications on it. I don't know if it's the start of summer, but I've noticed the last 2 weeks have been a little dip. but the prices have really gone up. The value is, we're Fringe and I in California now.
Wow, that's amazing. And I'm sure you're going to blame Californians too, which I would. They're awful people, even though I'm one of them.
I'm not going to blame Californians on your... But they are bringing their influence. We are, Nevada does in some aspects mirror California on several things. And a lot of people are fleeing California to buy here because they can pay cash for a home or they can rent a home for a fraction of the price. I just had one the other day where this family of four was living in a one-bedroom apartment paying $1,700 in California.
Uh-huh.
And they came over here, and for $1,600, they had a three-bedroom.
Wow. Well, that's...
Now, that wasn't the best area for $1,600. It should have been, like, $2,000 in a decent area.
Right.
But still.
Okay. Oh, you've got... You really know Vegas. So tell us, what is a great area for somebody who wants to come out there and try out, you know, rent in the area?
Oh.
I mean, there, I know there's a ton of areas, but you would know a good area. Check out.
Here's the thing. There, Vegas is, we've got great areas next to what the heck just happened. So there can be great areas on the east side.
Right.
And there can be, you know, terrible areas on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
Because I drive so much, I want to be right next down to an interstate hub.
Right.
And so I kind of like, I prefer, like, the Summerlin,
right.
Southwest, Green Valley. That's kind of my fave.
Okay,
but believe me, there's beautiful properties everywhere.
No, I like all that area, but it's a wide swath from Summerlin over to Green Valley. That's a, you know, that's a distance. And I love those particular areas as well.
No. You hop on the 215 freeway, and you're there in 12 minutes.
Oh, it's awesome.
Now, I do drive like I'm in NASCAR, but, you know
I love, you know what, I love the way they designed the highways during the last boom to really prepare for this particular boom. Now, Vegas, we talked a little bit earlier, the main problem with Vegas is obviously the water, where's it coming from, and how's growth going to be fueled if there's no water? Any answers to that?
You know, I was talking to somebody about that this morning, and I look around, and there's all this construction, and for people to be on a planning committee and pounding into our heads that Lake Mead is becoming a puddle, yet they're continually building, I don't know what they're going to do.
Right,
I honestly don't, unless there's a secret water supply somewhere that we don't know about.
Other than the ocean? No, I mean, you know... And you're quite a ways from the ocean, but, you know, Vegas would build the pipeline if they'd let them.
Yeah, we do a lot of things if they would let us.
Yeah, I remember that idea of putting down a rail line from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. They never did it because Los Angeles didn't want to see the money flowing out of town.
It always follows the money and you get the answer, right?
Right, absolutely.
That's
okay,
always how it works.
Let's talk a little bit about real estate sales. Houses on the market, they've increased a little bit. Are we seeing a little softening, a little bit more properties come on the market because the rates went up? What do you think?
I think the same amount of properties are going on the market as before.
Okay.
And I don't think people are feeling the pinch of the higher interest rate just yet because it's slightly, and people can go... When you're buying, you can go a little beyond your budget.
Okay.
I just had a sale. Within 8 hours, I had 5 offers.
Wow.
Good, solid offers.
Wow, that's really good. And price range. Now, I know price range there has really increased. I mean, I think medium price range is over 350 at the moment. But what are you seeing in terms of increase in the cost of housing? Has that stabilized at all?
No. I think we're still inching up a little bit.
Okay.
I don't have a crystal ball, but it is going to level off at some point.
Sure.
When that will happen, I don't know. Again, let's see what the interest rates do.
Yeah, you were around...
Also,
go on, I'm sorry.
We're also coming into summer when there's usually predominantly a lot more movement. families want to move before school starts. So let's just kind of see what happens. Go ahead.
No, no, I was going to say you were around during the last recession back in 07, 08, right? I mean, I'm just saying you probably were. I was too. So in comparison to that, do you see recessionary indications that you hear about on either Bloomberg or CNBC or any of the news channels that handle business? They're talking about that. And are you seeing any signs of that? Because that's, you know, the first signs would happen in either demand or in supply or any other of the indicators that we might be going into a recessionary cycle?
Well, we are in a bear market, and historically, every time there is a bear market, 6 months later, there is a recession. So let's look at things. I think we are going to head that way because the cost of living has gone up here, but the wages have not. So I think there's going to be some big problems coming.
Okay.
People can't afford. You can't afford to even rent.
I know. I don't know how. Well, most major cities are like that. And Las Vegas, which really, it's all about growth there and has been for the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years. It's, it's interesting. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm afraid of recession, obviously, because I think, like the last time, Vegas would be a hard-hit city. Now, you're saying that wages haven't gone up, even at the casinos? Even, you know, with
No. Wages have not gone up. And they're on skeleton crews now, too.
Right.
Everywhere we go, like I went the other day to a restaurant and it said, please be patient with us, we're short staffed. Everywhere you go, there's help wanted signs. Nobody wants to work anymore.
Right. Well, I mean, if they're not making any money.
There's a lot of things going on, but that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. It's just part of our society here. So back to real estate.
Okay, so we're up against it. I want to have people get in touch with you, especially if they have questions about real estate and also need representation of some sort. Could you shout out a phone number or a way by which people can get in touch with you?
Yes, my number. Get your pens ready. Drum roll, 702-610-7398. Or you can email me, joannemons@gmail.com. And I'm sure you can't spell it, so that was a total waste. Just give me a call or text.
Excellent. Joanne, thanks for coming on the show. I always appreciate talking to you, and I always appreciate the work you do. And, you know, let's get together soon.
Thanks, Jeff. Have a great day. Hope to see you soon, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Joanne Munns. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. We are on each and every week, and our show is available whenever and wherever you need information, even if you need it right away to fit your busy schedule. We make it easy to watch and listen to the show. Find our episodes on demand from our website, themortgagevoice.com. We're also on SoundCloud at The Mortgage Voice, and our Mortgage Minutes weekly program is also available on YouTube and in podcast form wherever you get podcasts, including Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podclips, IO, Spotify, and more. Again, this is Jeff Barton, and welcome to The Mortgage Voice. Okay, so each and every week we bring great information to the show. We try to bring guests that also augment what I'm trying to say here. Actually, they usually bring programs or ideas about what's selling in the marketplace specifically. I get into some of the macro ideas about what affects mortgage rates, what's affecting housing, and the guests who come on talk about specific programs with their lenders or how they're dealing with problems when it comes to getting loans approved. Getting loans approved right now is a little bit easier because there are fewer of them, and lenders are willing to look at additional documentation or additional types of loans products in order to be able to get loans in the door. We have a number of lenders who have laid people off this year. We are in, you know, June of 2022, and I've got a list here. So if you hear anything on this list that reminds you of your own bank or is your own bank, they are laying people off to reflect what I'm saying about the loan business. 60% of refinances are not here the way they were last year. So 60% less means you got to fire people in order to stay viable as a business. Some of these are public companies. Some of these are servicers. And, you know, this iBuying group that has been around, betterhomes.com. I'll just start the list. So, Better Homes. Yeah, that's iBuying. They would buy, they would have salaried people, they would sell, they would fix up. But that whole model is not really, you know, Zillow got out of the business, so they're out. So Better Homes is laying people off. Movement Mortgage, which I don't know where Movement Mortgage is. I think it's in the Midwest. They're laying people off. Interfirst, we talked about it a couple, 3 weeks ago, maybe even longer. They're laying people off. Fairway, which is a big lender down in Texas, they're laying people off. Guaranteed Rate. Anybody who's looking for rate, who looks rate dot, you know, dot com or tries to find it, will find Guarantee Rate as one of the top pop-ups on their Google search. They're laying people off. Loan Depot, which is a public company, they're laying people off. PennyMac, laying people off. So all of these companies, and there are many smaller companies you've never heard of, they're laying people off as well. Why? Because overhead kills you in our business. It's one of the most in opposite of what the economy is doing is how well the mortgage business does. In times like this, when we see a rise in interest rates, when we see inflationary issues, when we see potential recession on the horizon, the mortgage companies don't do as well. When, in fact, recession hits and the Fed lowers interest rates, the mortgage companies do better. The reason is that the rates get dropped and people refinance either to pay off debt, either have capital to be able to do something, or just to be able to get a lower rate than the one they already have. So it stimulates the mortgage industry. So when times are good, the mortgage industry is not so good. When times are bad, the mortgage industry rocks. And so we've just come off 2 years of some of the most incredible, great times that we've ever had. This and the last recession in, you know, 9, 10, and 11. Yeah, that's when rates get lowered. That's when mortgage companies do better. Also, in news to use, as I said earlier in one of the segments, job growth, 390,000 people were added to payrolls in May. It kind of belies the fact that there's so much recession talk. Now, if you listen to I don't know, Chase, or you listen to Wells Fargo, or you listen to some of the Wall Street people talk about what's happening, it's growth versus recession, right? So if you don't grow for two straight quarters, you've got negative growth. Well, that's what they call a technical recession. A recession in Main Street people means that you're getting laid off work. You don't, you know, what are you going to do? The value in your property goes down. A lot of things bad happen. Many people get laid off, and that's not what's happening right now. So there is a balancing act going on at the Fed to try to make or what they call a soft landing, which really means, yeah, you have a recession, but you're not laying people off. You may see some lack in demand and may see some companies lose money, may see stock portfolios losing money, may seeing some assets depreciate. However, most people will remain in their jobs. Most people will be continuing to work. And hopefully we would see in that time of a brief recession, which is what they call a soft landing, inflation get better under control. So even though you may be losing some money in your salary because prices got too high in your whatever you're buying, cars, gas, food, rent, mortgage, that those, in fact, numbers will begin to steady. And therefore, coming out of the recession, we will see some loosening of restrictions, not restrictions, but loosening of lending rates by the Fed, and therefore stimulating some of the economy. It's amazing how integral the Fed is in all of this. It wasn't like this always. It was more supply and demand. It was more about looking at your own company's reserves and ability to borrow. But when money is loose, i.e. what happened during the pandemic, companies find it easier and easier terms from other companies to borrow money. Borrowing money at 3% for a company, 2%, 1% means that it's easier to be able to repay those loans, and it's easier to be able to pass those particular savings or those particular great deals on to consumer, thus stimulating purchase. Now, that happened during the recession, during the pandemic, and we're seeing some of that not happen now because people are scared. They don't really know what's going on, and anybody who's paying attention, as I said, watching recessionary news go, oh, my God, I better save some money. Now, we saw huge savings rate during the pandemic, like some $1.5 trillion were saved that wouldn't traditionally be saved. Coming out of that, we have seen a lot of spending of money, i.e. keeping the economy really robust. The jobs number is indicative of that. But what that really means is that savings is being spent. Does it mean that people are making more money? Does it mean that people are getting hired so that they're now getting a job and they're spending more money, which would be, in a traditional sense, what happens when you come out of a recession? That is not happening. So it's I say, a balancing act, and I'm not the only one saying this. A lot of people are saying it, for the Fed to be able to either fuel growth with lower interest rates or make the interest rates go up, i.e. lessening the inflation. And these are the two things that we're fighting with right now, and it's kind of a wait and see. There are some predictors of the recession, and so word to the wise, obviously, is to save. As they're trying to both fight inflation and fight off any kind of inflation, any kind of a recession. Okay, the Fannie Mae home price survey dropped 0.3% to 68.2%, the lowest of the lows, 63% during the pandemic. 80% of the buyers out there think it's a bad time to buy. Okay, non-QM and the GSEs. What's non-QM? We talk about it all the time. There are government loans. There are GSE-type loans, which are the 30-year fixed-rate W-2 loans, 10% down, 20% down, no PMI. Those type of loans, which are bought by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or the FHA product bought by Ginnie Mae. Now, the non-QM is anything else which is done, and those particular rates are a little bit different, but the qualifying for you during paperwork is less. So figuring out what are the GSEs going to do when we have a product mix which goes from really 75% conventional loan to 50% conventional loan. The GSEs are looking at a way by which they can make the non-QM loan more like the QM loan so that they can then purchase those loans, rate them, and then sell the mortgage-backed securities on them. This is what's also happening in the mortgage industry. Okay, lumber costs also down. I don't know why I keep saying okay, like you're here saying, yeah, it's okay. Okay, would-be freeze of higher home prices and mortgages. Okay, the would-be would-be home buyer feeling the squeeze. What that really means is if you're out there and you're looking for a home and you can't seem to find one and you are losing your ability to afford because rates are going up, that's the squeeze they're talking about. We'll try to get to that and have gotten to it in the past with a lot of our great guests. But anyway, we're running to the end of the show. I'm sorry. There's so much to get to and so much to talk about. I have a list of about six topics I wanted to talk about, didn't get to. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Listen, go to themortgagevoice.com. You can see the show, hear the guests, the great guests that were on the show today. And anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.